put your hands together and give King Jesus the greatest hand clap of praise that you've ever given Him in your life tonight. Thank you, Pastor Bracken, for the invitation to be here with you and your church family and our visitors that are here tonight. It is indeed an honor and a privilege. I preached here in this city in Wallace, North Carolina, some 22 years ago at the Wallace Church of God Revival. I remember it very distinctly. I was a very young man at that time, and the Holy Ghost touched me, and I noticed you have pew chairs, which is wonderful and beautiful also in this generation, but they had pews, and I ran the tops of the pews that night and never have forgotten that service. But I appreciate you for being in this house tonight. Turn with me in Scripture to the book of Joel, chapter 1. And while you're turning there, let me say again thank you for the music team, the music ministry, those of you that sung on the praise team, our visitors. We're delighted to have you tonight in the house of the Lord. It is an effort to come out on a Saturday night. I know you put forth an effort just to be in God's house, but when you come expecting and ready to receive from the Lord, that makes the difference. If you come expecting tonight, your theme for 2012 was a year of encounter. Ours is a year of expectancy. And then I was trying to put in my mental note, putting them together. We need an encounter with God, and we need a spirit of expectancy. So it spoke to my heart tonight. Let's stand for the reading of Scripture. Joel chapter 1 and verse number 4. And then we're going to go over to chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Joel chapter 1, verse number 4, and Joel chapter 2 and verse 13. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Joel chapter 2, verse number 13. And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. I'm going to preach tonight on a very strange subject on a Saturday night live, because when I read this scripture and even wrote it down, and you see it on the screen, it's going to be, wow, he's going to preach tough, rough. Rend your heart and not your garment. Father, we open our heart to you and expose it tonight because we are ready to receive from the Lord. We need your direction and your instruction. We need your guidance, and we want your fulfillment in every and each life that is represented here tonight. Every church is represented, the people of God. And I'm asking you by the mighty hand of God Almighty, that you will touch every heart and every life, that you will move in the midst of this local assembly at Wallace, North Carolina, and that what you have began, you will finish and complete. And I believe, God, what you spoke to me in my heart, you have confirmed not only this week, but tonight while I was meditating upon you, and while the singers were singing the song of Revelation, you gave me a divine revelation the second time. I know, God, that you have ordained it. Now I ask you to use your servant to speak to the hearts of your people in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the precious Holy Ghost. And everyone said, amen. Shake the hand of two or three and say, rend your heart and not your garment. Joel begins by introducing an invasion of a plague of locusts and a terrible drought that's going to follow. The sky turns black and the locusts arrive. They descend by the literal millions on farm, on field, and on the forest. They cover the ground in a depth of 1.5 feet. They eat every stalk and every stem, every leaf and every twig. They move on and they leave utter destruction in their wake. It is, in fact, a terminology of incarnate hunger best describes them. The combination of the locust arriving upon the land and then the drought brings the place to a land of famine. And a message to the people was that God was bringing an awakening to them. From April to September, The hottest months of the year is when the locusts are living. They come from what is described as an east wind. And as that is which brought the plagues unto Egypt, devastated the vegetation wherever they visit. The grasshopper is the best description. It is in the terminology of the arba. Because you see, there are four different stages of the insects. The first is the palma worm. It is the gazium. It is a caterpillar that suddenly appears in great numbers and literally is cutting and gnawing. The locust, the arba, which is a short-horned grasshopper, in vast swarms and strips the area of all the vegetation. The cankerworm, which is the yellick, it is a type of moth and a series of pests, a forest and shade tree, and is hopping and licking and devouring. Then the fourth stage comes the caterpillar. It is the chalice. It is the elongated worm-like larva, and it strips and it brings ravage and it consumes. You say, but Pastor, what in the world are you painting a picture of? Well, listen to the writer in Proverbs 30 and 27. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. Nahum 3 and 17, the locusts do not fly in the night. Revelation 9 and 9, they bring fear in their flight toward all of mankind. When you picture a locust, when you picture what they're going to do or what they have done in time past, I want you to picture it with me spiritually for just a mere moment. When they come into the church, they come in as something secret. They come in as something private. But when they finish and you look around you, the Bible says in the last days there will come a great falling away first. We have seen the day it seemingly, and our older generation can attribute to this, and you can shake your head yes and say amen. We have seen the times that we had to come early just to get on the front seat of our church, or even to get a back seat, because our church people were so hungry for the move of the Holy Ghost. They were thirsting for God in a time of trouble. They were ready for whatever God was going to do next. Now we're seeing a generation that is a generation of entertainment. If it is not what they want to hear and who they want to see, they will not appear, they will not be. But God is calling the church to be as Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, and we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth our fruit in God's season. Our leaf will not wither, and whatever we do shall prosper. What are you saying? I'm saying we are as a tree, and the locusts have come. They have arrived. They have devoured. They have torn. They have eaten. They have swarmed. They have done everything they could against God's church. But the very gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God tonight. Jeremiah 17 and 8 said, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and spread forth her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall it cease from yielding fruit." Do you understand? A tree is a refuge for God's people in the times of storm. And that's where we are tonight. We are to be a people of God that the world runs to us because they see God in us. They see something different in our lifestyle. They are looking to us for help. The church is to be a healing station. We are to be a lighthouse. This church was not built, I believe someone said when I asked, it's built 2 years ago and 4 years ago now, March, is that right? God didn't sit this building here to be empty or half empty or a third empty. He built it that you might continue to expand and to grow, not only numerically but financially and spiritually. God said, and I've been here on assignment, I want to make sure that I'm walking with the Holy Ghost, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But when the enemy attacks,
He attacks, the Bible said, the field. He attacks the vine. He attacks the fruit. He's attacking, the first thing is the wine. He attacks that grape. You know why? Because in that grape, in that freshly squeezed from the vine, in that fresh wine is salvation. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. He's not only attacking the wine, He's attacking the vine. The vine is sanctification. It is that that sets us apart from the world. He's attacking the harvest, and the harvest is the Holy Ghost baptism. I don't know what you believe, but I still believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is a Trinity. There is a Godhead bodily, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's attacking salvation, sanctification, the Holy Ghost baptism, but He's also attacking our joy, our divine healing. There was a time when the world came into our churches to receive healing. They knew that if they could just get to a Pentecostal church, if they could just get to a praying people, if they could just get to somebody who believed in this book, rightly divided from front to back, if they could get a hold of a Christian, a child of God, that could pray and ring the prayer bells of heaven, then they would be healed and made whole. But now they look at us and they laugh and they scoff. But you see, what happened was, is when they come, hear me and hear me well, the palm worm attacked first of all the fruit. If you study and you understand these different ones that I read to you in Joel chapter 1, the palm worm is the first one, and he attacked the fruit. What are you going to do when you go up to the fruit tree? You're going to pick the fruit, are you not? You're going to go after the fruit. You see the fruit tree, you see the fruit producing, you're going to grab the fruit. And the enemy has attacked the fruit, and the fruit of the church is the Spirit of Almighty God. Wonder why He said, quench not my spirit. Grieve not my spirit. There was a time when people came to the house of God, and they came in such an attitude of worship, in such a spiritual realm, that you could hear them pray. I can remember the old timers, when I'd come in the doors, I didn't have to preach and they get right with God. They were already right with God. And when I began to preach, the Holy Ghost would fall all in the house. And you could see the fruit of the Spirit being manifest and the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church. And the palm worm has come to attack the fruit of the church. Secondly, He said the locusts would come and they attack the leaf. The second thing that happens, they take the fruit and it's gone. Then they begin to gnaw at the leaf and they attack the leaf. What is the leaf of the church? It is the glory of the church. It is the beauty of the church. God's Word said He would beautify the flesh with meekness. It is our worship. It is our hand clapping. It is our raising of hands. It is our praising the Lord and hallelujah and amen. And you see, what has happened is we have been trained in the last 10 years. The more quiet we are, the more silent we are, the greater service we're going to have. Not so. His Word said, let everything that hath breath to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If the glory of God will come down in this service tonight, if we praise Him and worship Him and honor Him and magnify Him, the enemy cannot stand when the church is awakened. The enemy cannot stand when the church is alive. The enemy cannot stand when the church is ready for revival. And God grant it tonight in this place, in Wallace Assembly of God. God shake the very foundations of this church, and God stir our hearts and move in our life. I want to see the Holy Ghost have His way, don't you? I don't care what anybody else thinks or says. I want to praise Him, because when He attacks the fruit, He attacks the spirit. When He attacks the leaf, then He attacks the glory. Then the cankerworm, He said, he comes in the third one. He's the one that comes after. And what He attacks is the trees and the branches. You know what the trees and the branches are in our church? That is our youth. That is our tender branch. What is the enemy attacking? He's attacking our children. The world has so much to offer them, and the church has nothing or little to offer them. We say, oh, but preacher, we got to be hard and we got to be straight. Oh, listen, this Word of God, it will pierce and divide to the sunder of soul, joint, marrow. This Word will not return void. But if our children are not raised in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. If we don't have that genuine anointing of God, it's not going to draw them back. But I want to see my children see me run the tops of the pews. I want to see my children see me slain under the anointing. I want my children to hear me speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. I want my children to see me shout and run the aisles. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to us who believe tonight. He attacks the trees and the branches. He goes, the fourth one. He says, not only the palmer worm, the locust, the canker worm, but he talks about the caterpillar. The caterpillar that crawls, goes into the ground and finds the root and eats into the very heart of the tree. That's mature and that it's seasoned. And that's the saints of God. That's that older generation who have lived the life, paid the price, and been faithful. The enemies walked in and slapped them, so to speak, in the face and said, you might as well give up. You might as well quit. Nobody wants... I love your praise team that you had some senior adults on it, because that speaks very well of you. You need to keep the church alive, because the Bible says the older ladies are to teach the younger and the older men to teach the younger men. Is that right? Am I preaching tonight? Y'all looking at me awfully strange. I feel like I'm preaching to myself, but it's all right, because I feel His anointing and I'm going home shouting the victory tonight, whether anybody else does or not. Because you see, He said, rend your heart and not your garment. Open your heart to Him. Expose your heart. Lord, this is what our church is going through. We've been attacked, and the enemy has attacked our spirits. He has attacked our glory. He's attacked our youth. He's attacked our senior adults. And the only thing left is going to be a building, and it's going to be closed down if the Holy Ghost of heaven is not welcomed back in our churches again. I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about all the churches, because there is a spirit that is prevailing across this nation of America. While revival is going on overseas and across the rivers and the oceans and the foreign fields, America is experiencing a season of slothfulness. And it's time for the church to wake up out of your sleep and our slumber and say, oh God, rend my heart tonight and not my garment. Because Joel begins out of nowhere. He's lifting up his voice. He goes back and vanishes in the darkness, because he is the very first of the writing prophets. And he writes 6 dozen verses. That's all he does. And he talks about the 2 things. He first of all talked about what I just gave you. He talked about the day of the locust. When I read to you, I looked at some of your faces when you snarled and how you twisted your faces. I told him my next phase of my next building, my next sanctuary, I'm putting a big mirror behind me, because I want everybody to see their faces, because you tell on yourself. Amen. And I saw some of you when I started reading about what the caterpillar and the palmer worm and the canker worm and the locust had done. Oh, you were sitting there saying, oh no, is he going to preach on something like that tonight? This is Saturday Night Live. Yeah, it is. But it's also a day of the locusts that have arrived, and they have come in our churches, and they are devastating our churches. They are literally dividing our churches. They are bringing a spirit of depression in our churches. But while there is a day of the locusts, Joel did not stop there. He said there will come, second of all, a day of the Lord. There is coming a day when He said, rend your heart and not your garment. He said, then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. He will answer and say unto His people, I will send unto you corn and wine and oil, and you'll be satisfied therewith. I will make you no more reproach among the heathen. I'll remove far off from you the northern army. I'll drive them to a land that's barren and desolate, with their face toward the east sea and their hind part toward the utmost. And their stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done these things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord is going to do great things. Does anybody hear me tonight? God's going to do great things. There is a day of the locust, but there is a day of the Lord. God's going to do great things. Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness will spring, and the tree will bear fruit, and the fig tree and the vine will yield their strength. Be glad, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God. He hath given you the former rain moderately, but He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. Did you hear it? Hold on till you see. And the latter rain in the first month, in the month of January, in the month of us, we're going to see a latter day rain. 2012 is going to be a year of expectancy. It's going to be a year of a time of refreshing that's going to come from the presence of the Lord. And the floors will be full of wheat. The vats will overflow. I'll restore. Somebody say restore. I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent. You'll eat in plenty and be satisfied. You'll praise the name of the Lord your God. He hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and the midst of my people, and the midst of His church. And I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Do you understand what He's talking about there? It is a prophetic word that God is giving His people, because when the prophecy meets the people, then it comes to pass. All it takes is the Word of God getting in your heart, getting in your life, getting in your spirit. If you could take this Word, Jeremiah said, His Word was found, and I did eat it, and it became rejoicing unto my soul. Because when you take this Word, it goes into the heart, and it begins to prick, and it begins to move, and it begins to tell you, though destruction has come, though desolation has come, God is saying, I will deliver my people. I will help them, because He says, my Spirit shall be poured out. You see, it's not your Spirit, it's not your Holy Ghost, it's His Holy Ghost. It's His Spirit. And I hear people say, oh, I'm going to just fold my arms and I'm just going to wait on the Holy Ghost. No, you aren't waiting on the Holy Ghost. He's waiting on you. You say, well, I'm waiting on the Spirit of God. No, you weren't. He's waiting on you. He's looking for a vessel that will rend their heart and open it up and say, oh God, oh, it's such a fitting song you sung. Open the eyes, Lord. Open my eyes that I might see you, but open my heart that I might feel you. That's where we are tonight, my friend. The Spirit is going to be poured out. The second thing is going to happen. Signs are going to be produced. It does not say that we're going to follow signs. But it says signs and wonders shall follow us that believe. In His name you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In His name you can drink anything deadly and poison shall not harm. You don't even know what you eat when you go out to fast food anymore. You don't even know how many times God has kept you clean and kept you safe. Because we pray over it and sanctify it by prayer. He said, you eat anything deadly, and it shall not harm you. Then He said, you can cast out devils in my name. I was telling my armor bearer tonight, was talking about it. He hadn't yet been in one of the services. He follows me and takes me, and so I can preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and whatever, and be fresh. And he drives me and takes me. But we've been in several revival meetings thus far in the 20 months I've been there. He hadn't yet seen a demon-possessed person delivered. And we got talking about that on the way down here tonight. He said, you reckon tonight will be tonight? I said, I don't know, brother, but I don't have that feeling, but I don't know. But he said, when's the last time? I said, oh, we had the other service, you just weren't there. When's the night? He said, oh, praise God, I wasn't there. No, I didn't mean that, Pastor. Because this word will work. And it is true and accurate. And you don't have to be afraid of the enemy. The Bible says that no weapon formed against the child of God can prosper. Every tongue that's risen against you in judgment, God will condemn. We are the heritage of the Lord. Do you understand? You belong to God tonight. You're not your own. And because you belong to Him, every demon that comes even near you, all you've got to do is say the name of Jesus. The Bible says that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. If every once in a while you just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's a while ago when I came in here, I started just saying, Jesus, 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 because the enemy cannot. Do y'all understand what Wallace is going through? I don't know if you do, so let me as an outsider explain it to you. This isn't in my notes or anything. This is what from the Holy Ghost, so let me explain to you. I've got away from my whole message and forgot everything. I just want to obey God. Because when signs follow you, when the Spirit is poured out and signs will be produced, salvation is going to precede Pentecost. You can't have the Holy Ghost till you get born again. Don't get quiet on me now. He's not going to fill a vessel that's a wine-bibbing believer or a liquor-sipping saint. And there's a New Age movement that says you can do anything you want to, go anywhere you want to, say anything you want to, live like you want to, and be saved and be Spirit-filled. That's not so. He is searching for a vessel that's clean and holy. His people are separated. They've come out from the world, and they are different. Is that right? I lost half of you right there, but it's all right. It's the truth anyway. But do you understand what's happened to this vicinity? I preached at Penile, so they know, and I've already explained to them. There is literally an onslaught of the enemy attacking you. And you are under a spiritual warfare. You are under an attack. And the reason why is the enemy is attacking the anointing. He doesn't like the anointing. He doesn't want the anointing to go forward. Because if he can hinder this church, if he can stop what's happening, if he can just bring it to a slower movement, maybe he hasn't stopped you yet, but to just slow things down. See, Pastor came here. May is 19 years. Is that right? March would be 19 years ago. And some of y'all say, well, he looked a little bit younger when he came. One man came up in revival and he said, preacher, he showed me his wife. I've been married to her 50 years. The next night he come, had one on each side of them, younger ladies. And he said, come here. And I said, yes, sir. He said, I traded her in for two 25s. And I looked at him, I said, you're out of your mind. He said, no, they're my two daughters. But people have got the mentality, we get a preacher and he stays here 5 years, 19 years. It's time to trade him in and get something younger. Well, younger's not always better. Oh, I'm hitting on somebody tonight. Oh, I feel the anointing. Oh, I'm in trouble now, but it's all right. They say, well, he's been here 19 years. Why isn't the church packed to capacity and them standing on the outside and coming in? Well, do you understand a shepherd feeds the sheep? Sheep begat sheep. It is your responsibility to go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. It's your, and how do you think your family and friends are going to come to church when they come to church, when you invite them and they slip in the door and they look around and you're not in the house of the Lord? Thank you, television. Y'all just keep watching it. Because, you see, our problem is we've got a testimony, but we don't live that testimony. We don't act on that testimony. But if we can take the wisdom that God has given pastor for this locality, for this assembly, for this timing, and say, wait just a moment. You know what, pastor? We have been through and we've come out of Egypt and we've been in bondage. We're right now in the wilderness and we're under a burden. But if we just hold up the hands of the man of God, Aaron got on one hand and Hur got on the other. And as long as they had his hands held up, the victory was for Israel. I need somebody tonight who will say, Brother Leonard, I'm going to hold up the pastor's hands, Brother Bracken's hands. And I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to support the church. I'm going to be in attendance. I'm going to give my tithe and my offering. See, my people think I'm just crazy and strange because all I ever do is obey the Holy Ghost, and it blows their minds sometimes. But a few days ago, we had a speaker came in. We took up offerings Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever came in. And the Holy Ghost said to me, I told my treasurer, I said, give him $5,000. He looked at me, his eyes got like saucers. He bowed his head and he said, what'd you say? I said, give him $5,000. He said, okay. He wrote the check out. All of a sudden, somebody handed a check, another one handed a check, another one handed a check, another one handed a check. And he looked up at me Wednesday night and he said, Brother Leonard, he said, do you know what we took in last Sunday? The best, the greatest, the most offering we've ever taken in this church in its history, $28,000 one Sunday. Y'all don't understand where I'm coming from. I'm talking about we were taking in $300 a week when I got there. I'm talking about 28 people on Sunday morning, 5 on Sunday night and 5 on Wednesday night when I arrived. I'm talking about a church that's 90 years old that had been faithful to God, and I had some prayer warriors, some old-timers who had persevered, who had stood the test, who had said, I'm dedicated and faithful, I'm not giving up, I'm not quitting, I'm going to hold. And they got behind this old man of God, and they began to pray for me, and they began to seek God with me, and all of a sudden God began to bless, and God began to bless, and God began to bless. Are we in spiritual warfare? Absolutely. Is the enemy mad? Yes, he is. Are things bad happening? Sure. I just buried just one of our greatest people just last week, last Sunday. He got on top of his house, fell off the roof, and ended up dying a couple of weeks later. Oh, yes, some tragic things have taken place because that we have invaded the enemy. We have made Satan mad. He is not a happy camper with us. So I want to tell you at Wallace and this community, you made the enemy mad because of your longevity of faithfulness. Because you have prayed. Because you have fasted. Because you have been faithful. Do not give up on the brink of a blessing. Do not hesitate. Do not stop. I know the grass looks greener over yonder. I know there's a new pastor going over there and a new one going over there and a new one. Listen, you don't know what you're getting. Just like when you buy a used car. Oh, they can fix it all up the best they want to. But you don't know what they've poured in that car to make it sound so sweet. But you see, if you try something that you've tested, and if you hold on to something that you know about, I don't know if you're a Ford or Chevrolet, don't make no difference to me. I'm just glad to drive a vehicle, amen. I'm not a car person. I just get in them and go. But if you know what you have driven and proven it, you'll keep that. And I want to tell you tonight, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. The enemy is attacking the anointing. Not only the anointing, but the anointed pastor and his wife. And the enemy is aggravated because somebody here is still praying. Somebody is still believing God. Somebody still has a vision. And the vision of this church is not yet been fulfilled. It has been gradually coming to pass, but it's not complete yet. It's not final. And God is trying to wake you up on a Saturday Night Live and tell this church, it is time now. Now. He is ready now to do it. And I'm going to blow your minds with what I'm fixing to tell you. So in its own whatever, Yahoo, Google, I don't know all that stuff, whatever y'all got it on, so you can just tape. But my Bible tells me if they prophesy something that doth not come to pass, to mark them, for they are a false prophet. But if it doth come to pass, mark them, because you know they have been with God. I have been with God for the last 2 weeks since I talked to you. And I have persevered. I have fasted. I have asked of the Lord. And yesterday,
the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart something. And then tonight, when the choir, I'll never forget it, the praise team was singing the Revelation song, and I was sitting there. The Lord said, I want to do great wonders among this community at Wallace. And I want to show them my glory. I feel it now flowing right now all over me. I want to show them my glory. I want them to feel my power. I want them to experience the real, the genuine. Pastor, some of your people didn't even want me to come. Some of them came tonight, didn't even want to hear me because I'm an old fogey. I know my preaching's outdated. It's okay. I know I'm unique and I'm different. And it's all right. But two different times, this is what the Lord showed me in this church. He showed me this church full, and He showed me people slain under the anointing all over these altars. And I didn't get the fulfillment of it until I was sitting there. And He showed me people praising, even around the piano, just praising God, falling on their knees and lifting up their hands and magnifying the Lord. And I saw elderly people coming in the house of the Lord dancing under the Spirit of God. And I said, and I just closed my eyes a while ago. And I said, wait a minute, Holy Ghost. I hadn't seen an elderly person dance in the Spirit in a long time. And I saw elderly people dancing under the power of the Holy Ghost. And some of you will look at me, scratch your head, and say, well, wait a minute, what's he getting to say next? God showed me an overflow of an outburst of His anointing coming. I told some at Panal months ago in a revival meeting, they came, and the Holy Spirit gave a word for them, and He fulfilled the first promise. And He done it miraculously. And He said, I will hasten it to come to pass. You remember that night? I remember where it was at, Mount Olive. Remember that night? But the other part, they haven't seen yet. They've not seen. As far as I know, they've not got their shepherd yet. They've not seen it yet. And they're holding on by a thread. But I just want to tell you, hold on for now. Just hold on. Just a while. Because there's a visitation. That's what the Spirit's saying. Mark, He said there's a visitation coming in this community of the Holy Ghost. And it's not going to be churches in competition with each other. It's going to be churches fellowshipping together, laboring together, working together, saying, hey God, if you can use anybody, you can use us. And we're willing to work together for the kingdom of the Lord. I want to see this church feel. God showed it to me a while ago. I want to see Panal feel. I pray for that church. I told them a few days ago, I told my deacon this week, I said, if I did not know I was in the divine will of God, being at Roanoke Rapids, I'd resign tomorrow morning and I'd go to Panal. I said, I'm honest with you, because I believe there's such potential. I believe that this area is going to be a visitation of the Holy Ghost. And I'm prophesying it, I'm speaking it, I'm telling it on the TV or whomever it is, that God is going to visit this community. There has been spiritual warfare. There has been witchcraft all around this area. But I break that stronghold in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the... Some of y'all look at me like you don't understand. But I'm telling you, there's been spiritual warfare. There's been satanic worship against this community and against this area. But oh God is going to rend the heavens, because when we rend our hearts and not our garments, God's going to rend the heavens and He's going to pour out a blessing upon this community that you have not seen yet. Pastor, you've seen it in 19 years. You've seen God move. I know that. I'm not doubting that. I'm not questioning. I know you've seen the blessing of the Lord. I know you've received it financially. I know miraculously the bill. I know all these, but you've not yet seen the visitation that God is going to give. Just hold on. Just wait. I know you've been waiting, but you got to wait just a little while longer. Just wait a little while longer. Just wait a little. Holy Spirit, stand please. I have to move with the anointing. Holy Spirit, we are going to wait upon the Lord. We are ready to receive the anointing that God wants to manifest upon our lives tonight. And There is people that are here and others who are watching. And there are people that should have been here tonight who are not. That You have spoken to draw them closer unto You. You want to demonstrate Your power. You want to manifest Your anointing. Oh God, I hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let me be so that I can speak what You say, Lord. But He said He's going to accelerate the anointing. Accelerate the anointing. Thank You, Father. Are You ready tonight? Are You ready tonight?